Hey, I want to welcome you to our worship at Discover Life Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm so glad that you've tuned in and are following along. Before we dive into our message, I'd like to pray together. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for your kindness and grace. Lord, today we are asking that you would minister to us. Father, today we need you to minister to us. Our hearts are broken as we see the pain and the suffering due to the coronavirus all around us. Father, our hearts are breaking as we see the sick dying alone. Our hearts are breaking as we see the suffering all around us. Father, we think of the medical providers who are working tirelessly to keep people alive. We think of the men and women who are afraid about where they're going to find the next bit of food because they have no income. The people who are afraid about where they're going to pay their rent or how they're going to pay their rent. Dear God, we pray for this circumstance that we are facing as a nation and as a world, and that you would pour your grace upon us. And for all these things, God, we thank you. And as we turn our hearts and our attention to who you are and what you have to say, we pray for your help, for your wisdom, for your guidance. And may you open our hearts and minds to know you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that the coronavirus will be my children's generational defining moment, in much the same way that 9/11 was a defining moment in many of our lives. We remember clearly the images of New York City with the plane flying into the Twin Towers, the planes flying into the Twin Towers. We remember vividly that image of George Bush standing there at Ground Zero. We have these images burned into our hearts and minds. And so likewise, this week, as we watched the news and we saw the mass graves being dug in New York City to bury the dead because the morgues are full, these images we will not forget. You know, the coronavirus to me has reminded me that this world is broken, that this world is spiraling out of control, that this world is in desperate need of a recreation. Now, at Discover Life Church, we've been studying the Gospel according to John, and in the Gospel according to John, Jesus is presented as the force that brings about a new creation. Jesus is presented as the author of a new creation. And the way that the author does it, the way that John does that, communicates that, is absolutely brilliant. He does it by echoing the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis records the creation of this world, and John describes the coming of Jesus in the language of the first creation. And at the end of the Gospel of John, we get this incredible punchline, which is that Jesus is releasing the forces of a new creation. Now, let's look at the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And we're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning." Now, if you are a Bible student or you've been around church much at all, you will immediately recognize those three words. The book of Genesis begins with, "In the beginning, God." And John begins with, "In the beginning was the Word." John goes on and says, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." John says, "He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made." Jesus created all things. Verse 4, "In him was life." Now, that word life is a critical word. And even more important than the word life is, "And that life was the light of all mankind." So there are, in this verse, there are several things that are absolutely connected to Genesis. You have "in the beginning," That is connected to Genesis. You have Jesus is the Word. All throughout the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, you see, and God spoke, and God spoke, and God spoke. So the Word of God is really important in Genesis chapter 1. The very first thing that God speaks is light in Genesis 1. In fact, let's look at that. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, what I want you to notice is that there is a clear parallel between John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, God creates through speech. And one of the first things that he creates is light. In the book of John, Jesus creates. He creates all things. He is the Word. God is involved with speech. And he is the light. So there's this very clear parallel between John chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1. Now, the reason that John creates this parallel between John and Genesis is, again, because he is wanting to clearly communicate that Jesus is releasing the force of a new creation. Now, Jesus does that by being an Adam, not an atom, an Adam, like Adam and Eve. Jesus is a second Adam. Let's call him the last Adam. In fact, in the book of John, John chapter 19, verse 5, you have this very unusual verse, but this verse is designed to tell us that Jesus is the last Adam. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." Now, you might remember the King James, "Behold the man." Behold the man. Scholars and theologians have wondered for years why this sentence, "Behold the man, here is the man." And the answer is absolutely clear. John is presenting Jesus as the second Adam, the last Adam. Now, just like the first Adam began his life in a garden, the last Adam, Jesus, the man, ends his life in a garden. In the city of Jerusalem, there's this high wall, and off the side of the wall is the Kidron Valley. And in the Kidron Valley, on the far side of the Kidron Valley, is the Garden of Gethsemane. And in John chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, when Jesus had finished praying, he left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Jesus enters the final moments of his life in a garden. In fact, in the Gospel of John, four times it is mentioned that Jesus is in the garden at the end of his life. John is trying to make, excuse me, John is trying to make a very important point that Jesus is the last Adam and that his life parallels the life of the first Adam and that the first Adam brought death and destruction, but the last Adam, Jesus, releases life and new creation. And so John lets us know that Jesus is in a garden here in John 18. Just like Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, were in a garden. In fact, Adam and Eve just weren't in a garden, they were gardeners. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Adam was in a garden, and he was a gardener. John 19 describes the place where Jesus is crucified as a garden. Notice the language. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. The Gospel of John is at pains from beginning to end to present the story of Jesus in the context of a new creation. Just like Genesis begins in a garden, John ends with Jesus in a garden. In fact, it's interesting, in John chapter 20, verse 15, when Jesus is resurrected, he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Now, this is Jesus talking to Mary. Now, it goes on to say, she was thinking that he was the gardener, and she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where have you put him, and I will get him." Now, I think this is a fascinating text. Again, we have in the Gospel of John that Jesus is mistaken for a gardener. Again, this is telling us that Jesus is the last Adam. He is the second Adam. And just like Adam was a part of the original creation, Jesus is unleashing the force of a new creation. In fact, we see that most clearly here in John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He is about to die. In fact, it says in verse 28, "Later, knowing that everything had to be had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I am thirsty.'" Now, notice Jesus knows that everything has now been finished. It's Friday evening, and Jesus knows that his work is coming to an end. It's almost finished. A jar of wine, vinegar, was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, these three words, "it is finished," are absolutely critical. Again, if you have a background in the study of the book of Genesis, you'll remember in Genesis chapter 2, let me show you, Genesis chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed." King James, New King James, most versions, "they were finished. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work." Now, check this out. Jesus, in John chapter 19, he knows that his work is just about finished. And so Jesus then receives the sour wine vinegar, and he cries out those three same words, "It is finished," John 19, verse 30, the same three words that we read in Genesis, "On the seventh day, God had finished the work that he had been doing." Check this out. The Gospel of John is sending us a very simple message that Jesus has unleashed the forces of a new creation, and that just like in the beginning God created, so Jesus is the creator. And Jesus finished his work of saving humanity on that Good Friday evening. And on the cross, he cries out, "It is finished." And he gave his life for the salvation of humanity. And on that Friday evening, he had completed the work necessary to save humanity. He had died for our sins. He had given his life for us. Now, this is where things get incredible. Sunday morning, the first day of the week, early in the morning, they come to the tomb, and there Mary meets Jesus. And check this out. That Sunday morning was the first day of a new creation. Now, you heard me right. Jesus was alive. Death was conquered. The grave was overcome. Check this out. The Gospel of John culminates with the resurrection of Jesus, which is the ultimate power of a new creation. The resurrection of Jesus is that new creation force. And so what we see in the Gospel of John is that with the coming of Jesus and his resurrection, the force of a new creation is at work. And so the way I'd like to say it is, with the resurrection of Jesus, the new creation has come and death is defeated. With the resurrection of Jesus, a new creation has come and sin is forgiven. With the coming of Christ and his resurrection, lives are transformed. With the coming of Christ, a new creation is here, and COVID-19 and every other threat to human flourishing has been overthrown. Now, the problem is that new creation is here in one person, in Christ. But when we get connected with Christ, we get that same power of a new creation at work in our lives. And we have the same promise that as he conquered the grave, he will give us everlasting life with him. And so, my friends, the Gospel of John does something incredible. It acknowledges the reality of the brokenness of this creation. And friends, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, that's the first thing that we need to do. We need to acknowledge that this creation is broken. And then we need to acknowledge that Jesus came into this broken creation, that God in Christ came into this broken creation. He lived in this broken creation. He carried the weight of this broken creation. He carried the weight of every one of our sins. He died bearing the weight of our sin. He died bearing the weight of our broken creation. And on Sunday morning, he conquered death. He conquered sin, he conquered the grave, and he unleashed the forces of a new creation. And for me, I want to be connected to that life. I want to be connected to that new creation. I want to be connected to the hope that that brings, because no matter what I face in my life, whether it's my death or the deaths of those that I love, my hope is secure in Jesus, because he's alive and he has begun a new creation. Now, I've got some questions for you to reflect on here today. And before I do, though, let me read you this last text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. If you are in Christ, the new creation has come. If you are a believer in Christ, you've been baptized, you are a part of that new creation. It's here. It's now. So here are my questions for you to reflect on today. Number one, what causes you to long for a new creation? Discuss that, whether online or with your family. Or maybe you could call somebody who's seen this message, or you could share the message with somebody. But what causes you to long for a new creation? Number two, does anything make you content with this creation? In other words, do you have some idols here that you love, that you're just, you know, because of those things, you're just content here on planet Earth? Or maybe there's something good that God has given you that makes you feel really happy and content. Explore that. Number three, how does the resurrection of Jesus give you hope for a new creation? How does the resurrection of Jesus give you hope for a new creation? Number four, in what ways have you seen the power of the new creation in your life. In what ways have you seen the power of a new creation in your life? In other words, where has Jesus done something good? Has he made you more patient? Has he made you more kind? Has he made you more loving? Has he helped you to be more truthful? Where have you seen the power of the new creation in your life? And number five, in what ways would you like to see the power of the new creation in your life? Maybe there's some areas that you've not yet experienced the new creation and you'd like to. What are those areas? All right. Well, reflect on these things and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that with the coming of Jesus, there is a new creation unleashed upon humanity. Thank you that with the coming of Jesus, we are not abandoned to our sin or death or disease, but that you have unleashed the power of a new creation. Thank you so much for this incredible good gift. May you bless us, Lord, and may we enjoy that new creation life that is ours in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.